You're listening a Marcus Sahaba online radio podcast.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursalin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. Subhan rabbika rabbil 'izzati 'amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil 'alamin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you, the mercy of Allah and his blessings on this first day of Muharram 1441 corresponding to the 1st of September 2019. Through the mercy and blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have been afforded another opportunity to increase our knowledge. A very warm welcome to the esteemed listeners of Radio Al Ansar in the Durban, Peter Maritzburg, local, global regions, as well as to the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM in the East Rand, and to you, the esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba Online, voice of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Alhamdulillah wa shukrulillah, we here in the Durban studio, and Mufti Sahab is at the head office in Malaysia. And inshallah, we will be commencing with the Q&A program. But do remember that Mufti Sahib is going to be touring Durban from this Wednesday, the 4th of September, right until the 9th. And we'll give you more information about the programs that Mufti Sahib is going to be conducting or delivering discourses in and around the Durban region. Mufti Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Hafiz Hussein Wadi. Jazakallahu khaira. And we say jazakallahu khairan to our brother Dawood Monley. And thank you very much to our brother Lukolo here with me. May Almighty Allah bless all the listeners on this first day of Muharram 1441. And have the Ummah wherever they are being oppressed in different parts of the world.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair for that. Mufti Sahib, is there a specific dua to read on this first day of Muharram 1441 besides the dua on sighting of the new moon?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, when a person peruses the hadith compilation, then you will find this dua. Qala Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When a new month starts or the new year starts Islamically, then we say, Allahumma, our beloved Allah, read with me, O esteemed listeners. Allahumma, our beloved Allah, adakhilhu, enter this month and this year upon us, alayna bil amni wal iman, upon us that we live in safety and security, our iman is safeguarded. With salamati wal Islam, and remember our Islam and all our actions, our property, our lives, our honor, all are protected by you, O Almighty Allah. Wa ridwanim min ar-Rahman, and O Almighty Allah, you bless us that you are pleased with us, and wa jiwarim min ash-Shaytan, and we seek the protection of Almighty Allah from the Shaytan and his cronies and agents, whether they are in human form or in jinn form. This hadith is mentioned in Tabarani, and Ibn Hajar rahimahullah and them have said it is acceptable. Hence, one should try and read this at the beginning of the month, like today. And we know that we saw the moon ourselves, the crescent. So say Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. And likewise, the other du'as are also mentioned. So all this we should try and read, so that Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala blesses us. When we study the profile of Imam Malik rahimahullah, so we see on the first day of the month, then he used to exert himself. His students would ask him, O Ustad, O Sheikh, how come, why do you do this? He said, if the beginning of the month goes well, then the whole month goes well, inshallah. And all of us, yesterday was 1440, today is 1441. We should see what faqihu hadhil ummah, one of the great muftis of this ummah, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, used to say, when the sun would go down, he said, naqasa fihi ajali, wa lam yazid fihi amali. My lifespan is decreasing. I'm going nearer and nearer to my death and grave, but my righteous deeds are not increasing. So that is what a Muslim person does. He's concerned about death hovering above his head.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Sahab. Our very next question that we have: please advise, how should a lady who is going on Umrah trim her hair? If she leaves her hair tied up and trims off a little, is that fine, or does she have to loosen her hair and then trim it, Mufti Sahab?
Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, authentic hadith mentioned in Sunan Nasai, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam an tahliq al-mar'atu ra'saha. It is haram for a lady to go and shave her hair that is on her head, so that is haram. The shaving of the hair on the head is for the men, and that is definitely much more rewarding for the men. And just to clip the hair, trim the hair, all that for the men, although it's permissible but undesirable in this sense, that we should go for the maximum reward. And Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua thrice for the men who shaved their hair after the Hajj, after the Umrah. Hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. For the women, innama taqsiru ala nisa. So the women, what they should do, they perform the tawaf, they read and perform their 2 rakat salat. Now they are finished with the sa'i between Safa and Marwa. Go to your hotel room, loosen your hair, take all your hair together, for example, in your left hand, and then turn it around your little finger, and then you cut it with your right hand. And that is what you should do, 1 inch only approximately. And you can do so yourself after you have completed your umrah. Or you take your hand, your hair in the right hand, and if you are lefty, then you use the scissor and then you cut the hair 1 inch approximately. So that is what should be done. And remember, not just take out 1-2 hair, it should be approximately 1 inch, and then you'll be released and discharged from the ihram.
Mufti Sahab, our very next question is pertaining to rabbits. Are rabbits halal for one to consume?
We belong to the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Remember, according to all 4 schools, rabbits, arnab, khargosh, I gave you in 3 languages there, Arabic, arnab, aranib, or in Urdu, khargosh, and English, rabbits. We ate rabbit meat ourselves, so you must remember it's very tasty also. So, mashallah, that is totally permissible. You get some other people, they say that no, they don't belong to the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they don't belong to Islam also. Nevertheless, they say you can't eat rabbits. So when we ask them why you can't eat rabbits, they say it gets hayz, that it gets menses. So we ask them, your wife is halal for you. So now they don't know what to say for buhita allazi kafar. Then they are bowled out completely. So remember, we belong to the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, Hanafis. All of us say rabbit meat, totally permissible.
Mufti Sahab, I'm sure by now many of the Hujjaj have returned, and many will have this feeling that they didn't do much during the Umrah and the Hajj. What can they do now, Mufti Sahab?
Remember that, O Hujjaj of Baytillah, now you have returned home, or you are coming home today, tomorrow, during the week, and now the thoughts and the whisperings are going through your mind in Madinah Munawwara, in Makkah Mukarrama, the 5-6 days of Hajj, whatever you spent. So now you did not do enough, you did not do the maximum, and now we are left with regret. So remember, we should not allow the whisperings of shaitan to distract us. Yes, each one of us could have done more, that is true on one side, but what we should be focusing on now, after the trip of Hajj and Umrah and Ziyarah to Madinah Munawwara, to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Masjid and Mubarak Blessed City, is beg Almighty Allah for acceptance. Surah 2 verse 127, Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas samiul alim. O beloved Allah, accept from us, verily you are all hearing and all knowing. Secondly, now you saw Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara, Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah. Read Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 128. وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. O beloved Allah, show us the places of Umrah and Hajj and forgive us, Ya Allah. We confess, we admit, we are sinners and transgressors, but apna mehman bana de. Make me, make us the mehman of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make me your mehman, Ya Allah, in Makkah Mukarrama for Umrah. So that is the injunction, commandment of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tabi'u bayn al-hajj wal-umrah. After you perform Hajj, make intention for Umrah. Don't look at your pocket, look at the mercy of Almighty Allah. فَإِنَّهُمَا يَنْفِيَانِ الذُّنُوبُ الْفَقَرِ. It removes the sins and vices and removes the poverty as well, the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. Third one, when we enter Jannatul Firdaus, also we the Muslim mu'mineen, for a little while, a short duration, we will have some regret. Ya Allah, I could have done more in this world and I should have done more. But then all that regret will be removed and everlasting bliss and joy. So thank Almighty Allah, O Hujjaj Baitillah. Whenever people ask me, yesterday I met people in a masjid here opposite my house. So they ask me, how was the Hajj? I say 1440 Hajj was a special, special Hajj. It rained for 2 hours in Arafat and we were crying, we were begging, beseeching Almighty Allah. The more we cried, the more the rain came. For every droplet, how can we thank our Rahim, Kareem Allah? وَأَدَخِلْنَا فِي رَحْمَتِكَ. O beloved Allah, include us in your mercy at all times, all places, all circumstances. Then Mina rain, then Makkah rain. So without a shadow of doubt, make shukr, O Hujjaj Baiti. Allah invited us. We were the guest of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah ta'ala bar bar hazri nasib farmai. Almighty Allah, take us to the Haramain Sharifain time and time again. And may Almighty Allah protect the Makkah Madina and Masjid al-Aqsa, the Haramain Sharifain and Masjid al-Aqsa, from all the shaitans and the enemies of Islam.
Ameen. On the topic of Umrah, inshallah, Mufti Saab is going to be conducting or delivering the discourse at the Umrah seminar that's going to be taking place this coming Saturday. And the venue is the Al-Ansar Foundation. The males will be at the Musalla and the females will be in the conference center. Mufti Saab will be conducting the Umrah seminar, especially for those that are going for the very first time for Umrah. It is an absolute must. And even if you have been many times before, do attend the seminar from 10:30 to 11:30 this coming Saturday. Mufti Saab, our next question that has come in, is it true that the evil eye exists? There is such a thing as evil eye.
Regarding the previous announcements, our Honorable Hafiz Wadi may, Jazakallah Khair and Hafiz Wadi, yes, it will be on the 7th, inshallah, that is this coming Saturday, inshallah, and 10:30 to 11:30, we'll speak of Madina Munawwara Umrah. For those people who are going the first time, and you don't have our Hajj Kitab, Umrah Kitab, so inshallah, I'll bring few copies, and inshallah, of my Hajj and Umrah Q&A, and we will distribute it there. And all this with the compliments of the Capital Group, Haji Muhammad Ikhlas, his brothers, and the family, his parents, children, wife, all of them. Make dua for all of them. All may Allah accept all their generous contribution towards Islam and the Muslims. The evil eye, yes, 100%, we the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe in it. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna la'ayna haqqun. The evil eye is the truth. So meaning that people will look at you with dead eyes and then they are burning with jealousy and envy. And then you find that something happens. Allah forbid, your child falls sick, or you yourself, you fall sick, or your car, you meet up with an accident. Allah forbid. So therefore, O Muslim, we have to read the four quls, read the Ayatul Kursi. Qul ya al-kafirun, qul huwallah, qul a'udhu bi falaq, qul bin nas. Read Ayatul Kursi, read Surah Fatiha, give out charity. All these are ways and means of attracting the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and asking Almighty Allah Jalla Wala to protect us. And if you study Surah Yusuf, remember then you will find that Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam is the honorable father, he's a Nabi. And he told his children, Ya Baniya, لا تدخلوا من باب واحد ودخلوا من أبواب متفرقة. Oh, my beloved sons, I am your father, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, telling you, when you enter Egypt, do not enter through one portal, one gate and one entrance. Enter through the various gates and portals. Why? Because he feared the evil eye, because they were the brothers of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. And remember, people might try and cause them harm. Surah Yusuf, chapter number 12 and verse number 67. So therefore he told them to enter through various doors. So that is the belief of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. In today's world, when jealousy, envy is rife and rampant, after every salat, before you sleep, read قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِفَلَقْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ read قُلْ الْكَافِرُونَ also before you sleep. So Almighty Allah teaches us, وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. O Allah, I seek your protection from those who are jealous and envious. People see you got a nice double-story, triple-story house. People see your children are excelling in school and madrasa. Your business is flourishing and they burn with rage and anger and jealousy. So we need to put the firewall like how you put in the computer. So you have all that systems, so we need to put the wall around us. And that is the wall of protection with the mercy of Allah, with the kalam of Almighty Allah, the speech of Almighty Allah. See, I share with you a lesson. Friday, I went to my hometown, Heidelberg. I went to Balfour. You know, my father's family is in Balfour. They buried there, my grandparents, my uncles, my aunties. And my mother's side, they are in Middelburg. So nevertheless, when I enter Heidelberg, when I enter Balfour, or any town, like now this week, Durban, inshallah. So when you enter any place, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, read thrice, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق. So when the plane touches down there by King Shaka, no more Louis Botha, right? King Shaka from the south coast to the north coast. So we already reading. I read, my wife read. Three times, Sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith in Musnad Ahmad. A'udhu bi kalimatillahi tammati min sharri ma khalaq. Ya Allah, I seek the protection through your complete and perfect words from all the evil that you created, Ya Allah. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq min sharri ma khalaq. So that is how human beings, animals, insects, whoever, so Almighty Allah places the wall of protection around us. So, O Ummah, we have the best, we need to share it with the rest. Read three times when you are about to enter where you are, your destination, and Almighty Allah will protect us. Min kulli su wa makruh. A'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tammati min sharri ma khalaq.
I mean, Mufti Saab, our very next question that has come in, wanting to know if Mufti Saab could enlighten us, that who was Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu?
Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that personality that on the occasion of Fatih Makkah, he embraced Islam and he is Katibul Wahi. When Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to receive the Wahi revelation, he was one of the scribes. And if you want a reference of this, you will find it in Sahih Muslim. And then when you study the history of Islam, you will know during the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh, he was appointed as the governor, like how we have premiers, you know, in our provinces. So he was appointed the governor of Sham. That meant Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, Jordan, that entire area which is called Levant. So he was the governor. And then subhanallah, after the martyrdom of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda in Ramadan, the year 40, he's buried there in Iraq, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. His son, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, ta'ala anhu became the Amir al-Mu'mineen and Khalifa for 6 months. Thereafter, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu resigned. And then he handed over the mantle of leadership to Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Those people who say that Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah, Allah forbid, hated one another. Look at the propaganda they make. Here, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu is the beloved son of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. He resigns and hands over the mantle of leadership, Khilafat, to Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. This is the year 41 AH after Hijrah, is known as Amul Jama'ah, the year when the unity is again re-established. One Khalifa, one Amirul Mu'mineen. For 20 years almost, Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyid Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, was Khalifa from the year 41 to 60. In Rajab, in the year 60, he passed away. One virtue I mentioned to you of Amir Muawiyah mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أول جيش من أمتي يغزون البحر فقد أوجبوا. The first army that will go, the naval base, you know, they will go by boat, by ship, and they'll attack the enemy and so forth, and they will be definitely entering Jannah and Paradise, inshallah, through the mercy of Allah. In time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anh, the person who took out the first naval army in the history of Islam goes to Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anh. So we should remember that these Sahaba, these companions of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are special people. Almighty Allah has spoken about them in various places radiallahu anhum wa radu anh. Almighty Allah is pleased with them. They are pleased with Almighty Allah, and whether you embrace Islam in Mecca or in Medina, before Fateh Mecca, after Fateh Mecca, for all of them, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala stated, "Wa kullu wa'adallahu al-husna," and Almighty Allah has promised for all of them Jannah, and this is enshrined in the noble Quran. So therefore, that is the unanimous belief of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And if you want the reference of this ayah, then remember it is mentioned that is وَكُلَّوْ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى, Surah number 57 and verse number 10 of the Noble Quran. Surah 57 verse 10. One story incident I tell you of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. He is in Damascus, and that was the headquarters. Now the time approached for his demise. Sakarat is going to start. He takes the Mubarak nails of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, places it under his eyes, and the Mubarak nails under the eyes of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu an. And he tells the people, leave me, khallu bayni wa bayna arhamir rahimin. Leave me and my beloved Allah, who is the most merciful one to show mercy. O Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, rise up and say, we will defend the honor of every Sahabi. Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Amir Muawiyah, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And we will not allow any government, any person, any group of people to slander and curse the Sahaba. Authentic hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, An-nujumu amanatun lis-sama, how the stars are there. Allah created it to protect the sky. And well, the Sahaba, wa ashabi amanatun li-ummati, my Sahaba, my beloved students and companions are the protection for this Ummah. If you protect their honor, you speak of their legacy, then Allah will protect you. And if you speak against them and curse them, فَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنْهُمْ, those who mock and belittle the Sahaba, سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, Allah mocks them, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, dispatched straight to Jahannam. Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 79. إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ أَصْحَابِي, when you see those people cursing, swearing my companions and Sahaba, فَقُولُوا people and say, La'anatullahi ala sharrikum, Allah's curse be upon you. Any so-called masjid where they curse the Sahaba or they allow the people to curse, remember that type of masjid, we must boycott it and have nothing to do with them, let alone give them rewards and awards and satanic things like that. So remember that that's a disgrace for us. We belong to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and we will defend them till the last drop we have in our body. That is what we have to do as the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Mufti Saab, just one more question, perhaps just before the break at 14:30. If Mufti Saab can enlighten us on some of the new programs that Markaz will be broadcasting from this Muharram 1441.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Aadha min Fadli Rabbi, this is the grace of our beloved Allah. Allah Jalla Wala has given us this platform of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Obviously, we cannot forget the Capital Group, that they are assisting us in all forms and all ways. May Almighty Allah reward them, grant them more capital. So from tomorrow, Tuesday, inshallah, the major changes will be in the morning, 7 to 9, our brother Al-Amin Templeton will be on every day, Monday to Friday, 7 to 9. And in the morning program, the breakfast show, as they call it. And in the afternoon, 3 to 5.30 will be Brother Yusuf Ali. 3 to 5.30 will be Brother Yusuf Ali. So that are the main changes. And in between, there are other new programs. Like today, Alhamdulillah, we started the first program with Brother Shafat Ahmed Khan. And it is, you know, the top shelf. He gave the name, Brother Shafat Ahmed Khan, mashallah. So we see that, you know, it's supposed to be half an hour today with me because of first Muharram. Obviously, it won't be like that every week. But remember, it went to 1 hour. So many questions the people had. So alhamdulillah, the program went well. And inshallah, we have other programs. Our brother Nazir Malik, inshallah, will be the host for the travel program. And many ulama also will be on board, Salim Kareem, Maulana Muhammad Venker. So inshallah, other ulama will also join. So anybody wants our schedule for 1441, so inshallah, just send us a WhatsApp, 071-888-1184. So inshallah, we will send out to you. Or just go on our website and you'll find it there, inshallah, www.markazsahaba.com, or mine, Mufti A.K. Hussain, HOSEN.net, and inshallah, you will find it there.
Inshallah, jazakullah khair for that, Mufti Saab. That brings us now to 14:28, and this afternoon's Q&A program is brought to you exclusively by the Capital Group of Companies, solely and only for the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we did mention earlier, that Mufti Saab is going to be in Durban, inshallah, from Wednesday, the 4th of September. Mufti Saab's very first program is going to be at the Quwwatul Islam Jamia Masjid in Verulam after Isha Salah. That's this Wednesday, the 4th. Thursday, the 5th of September, Mufti Saab is going to be at the Sufi Masjid in Glennon Road, Overport, and that particular program is going to be after Maghrib Salah. Friday, the 6th of September, Mufti Saab will be delivering the Jummah lecture at Masjid al-Hilal in Overport. And then on Friday night, Mufti Saab is going to be in Pietermaritzburg at the Mountain Rise Masjid and delivering the lecture after Isha. And Saturday morning, Mufti Saab is going to be at the Al Ansar Foundation from 10:30 to 11:30. That's going to be Saturday, the 7th of September. That's going to be the Umrah Seminar. It's a program from 10:30 to 11:30. Mufti Saab will be discussing Madinatul Munawwara as well as the Umrah. Saturday night, Mufti Saab is going to be at the Ispingo Hills Masjid after Isha. That's Saturday the 7th. Sunday the 8th, Mufti Saab is going to be at the Mirbank Masjid after Isha Salah is the lecture. And then finally on Monday the 9th of September, Mufti Saab's discourse is going to be at the Avondale Musalla. And that's the programs that we do have for you. Remember, decoders will be available at all these programs for you too. A purchase. Also, if you would like to sponsor the decoders, do remember that we will have the Markaz Sahaba team at all the venues. Well, right now it's time for a break, and after the break, we continue.
You're listening to a Markaz Sahaba online radio podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Q&A program brought to you exclusively by the Capital Group of Companies, solely and only for the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just a reminder that tomorrow evening, that's Monday evening, there's going to be a program taking place at the Avondale Musalla, and that is going to be the program, the Nasiha for the Hujjaj of 2019, and that is Maulana Muhammad Venkat Sahib Hafizahullah, who's going to be delivering the discourse starting at 6 o'clock right until 8 o'clock tomorrow evening, and inshallah you'll be able to listen to that live on Markaz Sahaba, online voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Mufti Sahab, our very next question: is there anything wrong with a woman taking a husband's surname as long as she does not consider it a sunnah?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Mashallah, tomorrow's program conducted by Moana Venka between 6 and 8, and thereafter, inshallah, our Q&A will continue as normal on the Radio Al Ansar International, Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and Sirius FM, inshallah, with Moana Arafat Hatia and myself tomorrow night between 8 and 10, inshallah. Okay, here we need to understand that when a person gets married, like our Hafiz Muhammad Bassa, he got married last night, he got married last year, and this year, mashallah, he had his walima. So Islamically we're speaking about, Allah Jalla wa'ala bless him, mashallah, and his wife also. Now we say, Barakallahu lak, wa barakallahu alaik, wa jama'a baynakuma fil khayr, the dua mentioned in Abu Dawood, Almighty Allah, grant them barakah from all sides, mm-hmm. and keep them with khayr at all times, all places. Now when a person gets married, the lady came with her maiden name. So now she has three options. Option number one, she wants to maintain her own maiden name. That is Khadija binti Khuwailid, Aisha binti Abi Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh. So all this is totally permissible in Islam. There's no problem with that. So first option, you keep and maintain and retain your maiden name, surname, all fine. Second one, you want to take the surname of your husband. So my wife Fatima and now Hussein. So that also is permissible in Islam, so there's no problem. And if you want to merge it, you want the double barrel surname. So you keep your name and you must remember you keep your husband's surname. So Fatima Osman Hussein, Uthman Hussein. So fine, all that is permissible. You get some people who don't understand Islam, la yariful bu min al ku. They don't know, in Arabic we say they are right from their left or they are left from their right. So they just confuse issues and cause problems in the ummah. So you must remember that they quote the ayat Surah 33 verse 5. Ud'uhum li'aba'ihim wa aqsatu indallah. That is for adopted children. I'm married, I don't have children, now I adopt a child. So when I adopt that girl or boy who are 3 months old, 6 months old, 1 year old, so that child there, you must then attribute him or her to the biological father. You cannot say it is my son or my daughter with my surname. It's not permissible. So that is what Islam is teaching us, not to do with marriage. So people are confusing these two issues. And if you do not know the biological father, for ikhwanukum fi din, then they are brothers, sisters in Islam. So Salman, the son of Islam, Zainab, the daughter of Islam, words like that you keep. So that is what is meant. However, you see today, people are taking these children, you must remember, adopted children, and then considering them and telling people they are my child and so forth. So that is deception. And when you take somebody else's child and then you attribute it to yourself, manin tasaba ila ghairi abi. So now you are misleading people regarding the lineage of the child. فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. The hadith in Musnad Ahmad. Allah's curse, the malaika, angel's curse, and the people's curse is upon you. In Islam, we do not adulterate and mix up the lineage of people. That is sacred, and the lineage must go to the father, except when, remember, it is illegitimate child, then it goes to the mother.
Khair for that. Mufti Sahab, next question. If a man flirts or takes a second wife, is it in your takdir?
Remember, people, we have what taqdeer, we have tadbir. You see a hole when you're walking, and then remember that you walk inside the hole and you get injured. Then you say taqdeer. You must be given good hiding then, because you are playing with the deen of Almighty Allah. Someone asked Nabi Isa alayhi salatu salam, if I jump from that mountain and I go down, will I die or not? If my taqdeer... He said, Zalim, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu salam, Jesus, peace be upon him, Nabi Isa alayhi salam said, Allah has the authority, sovereignty, to test the human being. You, Zalim, human being, you don't have authority to test Almighty Allah. So we are the servants and the slaves of Almighty Allah. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a genius. Abul Hakam, Abul Hasan, both kunya were used for him. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, a person came to him. He said, O Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Amirul Mu'mineen, what is this masla of taqdeer? He was standing. Sayyidina Ali told him, pick up your one leg. He picked up. He said, pick up your other leg. He said, I can't do. He said, that is taqdeer. To a certain extent, Almighty Allah gave us that freedom of choice. But beyond that, Allah did not give us. So you must remember, al-ihtijaju bil-qadr, to use taqdeer as an excuse for haram actions is not permissible. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, has written a whole book on this, which I have by me. So you must remember, this person want to flirt with other women, other people's wives, and then he said taqdeer, he must be given 100 lashes. Because he's playing and mocking with the deen of Islam. For zina, we give 100 lashes. This is not zina, but it is, remember, flirting and leading to zina. So the judge can use his own comprehension and discretion and punish that person like that. So remember that you, brothers, you want to smooch the lady, you want to sleep with her, and then when you caught offside, then you say, I'm taking second wife. So remember that you must be capital punishment. Must take place. You're committing adultery and then you speak of second wife. So remember that when people commit adultery, then capital punishment is the law. So don't play and mock with the Sharia and look for loopholes and so forth. You want to take second wife, all that, it must be done publicly and there must be justice, and she, the girl, must be pleased. Her father must give permission. All these are conditions. Then only, not what's happening today. Surah 4, verse number 3. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. If you fear you cannot do justice with 2, 3, 4 wives, then you stick with one wife. Old is gold.
Mufti Sahib, which dua of Nur did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read at Arafat?
Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam set a precedent for humanity and posterity. The master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, hadith in Tirmidhi, du'a'i wa du'a'ul anbiya min qabli. This is my supplication and the supplication and dua of the messengers before me. Therefore we, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, believe every Nabi, every messenger from Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, right up to Sayyiduna wa Habibuna wa Shafi'una Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every one of the messengers came to Arafat. Ordinary mortals like us go. So which dua did they read? La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. The message of tawheed, of the oneness and uniqueness of Almighty Allah. He has no partners, no associates. Second dua Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam read in Maidan Arafat, on the plains of Arafat, to show this ummah, you cannot be groping in darkness. We are a ummah that has noor. So the master rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam begging, beseeching, supplicating to Allah, Allahumma jal fi qalbi noora wa fi sam'i noora wa fi basari noora wa fi lisani noora wa fi badani noora wa an yamini noora wa an shimali noora wa fawqi noora wa tahdi noora. O Allah, grant me radiance, effulgence in my heart. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. You got that, O listener? The heart of the problem is the problem in the heart. The pride, the arrogance, the jealousy, the envy, people's kufr, shirk, everything is there in the heart. So first thing Mustafa taught us, Ya Allah, grant me the radiance, effulgence in the heart. It must get cleansed. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always pure. For me and you are speaking about, our hearts are saturated with filth. So therefore we need to cleanse and purify it. In our ears, in our eyes, in our vision, in our tongue, in our entire body, on the right, left, top, bottom. So inside, outside. So that is the dua. When you're going to read this dua, O Muslim, not only in Arafat, when you read your sunnahs, I read my sunnahs at home for Fajr, and then I go, my one brother, Afzal Khan, AK, he also is AK, he picks me up, Allah reward him, and then I'm reading Talla Masjid. It's just 1 minute from here by car. So, Allahumma ij'al fi qalbi nura, wa fi sam'i nura, wa fi basari nura, wa fi badani nura. So we ask Allah for nur. It's sunnah to read it between when you are going for your first salat. After you read your sunnah and now you are going to the masjid, if you read your sunnah at home. Otherwise, if you're reading in a masjid, then also when you're going to the masjid, you read that dua. So the hadith in Musnad Ahmad.
Mufti Sahib, if family members hurt or ill-treat you and you wish for them to be treated the same way as they did to you, is this considered a sin?
Remember, my brother, if people want to harm you and so forth, then you must not go and harm them deliberately. فَمَنِ اِتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ مِثْلِ مَا تَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. If the people there, they stole your money or they did you down with inheritance and so forth, so remember, in a case like that, then you try and recoup it, so you get hold of something of theirs and you take it away, because that is what they owe you, so that is fine. But if they cause you physical harm and so forth, it don't mean that you go bash them up as well. So what you need to do is curtail contact with them. Today, when you look at the ummah, micro, macro, you look at small families, you look at the country, you look at nationally, internationally, globally, the ummah is imploding. You can see Kashmir, you can see Libya, you can see Syria, you can see other countries, you know, Yemen and Burma and whatever else, Afghanistan, Iraq, all in front of us. So remember that what we need to do is, when you know some people are going to cause us harm or they want to cause us harm, read Surah 40, verse 44. وَأُفَوِّدُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. I read it almost every day because we live in an evil world. People want to cause you harm. So you will see always, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala protects us. It's Allah's promise. Read this and act on it. Surah 40, verse 45, the next verse. فَوَقَوَهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا. The people who are plotting, planning against you, Almighty Allah will protect you and humiliate them. And you will see that's happening daily. وَأُفَوِّدُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Likewise, read Surah 29, verse 30, the dua of Nabi Lut alayhi salam. In Sodom and Gomorrah, they were people, the gay brigade, the gay party. They would not listen to Lut alayhi salatu salam. They committed the crime of sodomy, homosexuality. He, the Nabi of Allah, crying, begging, weeping, Rabbin surni alal qawmil mufsideen. O Almighty Allah, assist me against these mischief makers, troublemakers, against these gay people. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala decimated, destroyed them. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِّنْ تِينٍ. From the heavens and the skies, the brimstones came with their names written. And Almighty Allah let the land and the sand and the water tell us a story. فَجَعَلْنَا عَلِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا. If you go to the occupied Palestine today, the Dead Sea, Al-Bahru al-Mayyit, and you look at altitude, it is the lowest portion on this earth. So we've been there several times. When you look and you see the signs and the remnants and relics Allah has left there. You look at the water, al-bahrul mayyid, the Dead Sea. Nothing can survive there. So it shows that this is unnatural, and therefore Islam says there's no place for it and is punishable by death in Islam.
JazakAllah khair for that. Mufti Sahib, next question. This brother wants to know that is it jais for him to read salah with his girlfriend as he has firm intentions on marrying her?
I got firm intention of giving you 100 lashes, my brother. You got your girlfriend there with you, and then you want to make a mockery. You're kissing her, smooching her, doing this with her, doing that with her. And now the shaitan told you, no, just read salat with her, then it's alles rech. Then everything is okay, my brood. No, alles is ni rech ni. So everything is not good. So remember, Islam taught us, wala taqrabu zina. Do not even go near fornication and adultery. So you forgot what Quran said to both genders? Wala muttakhidin akhdan. Wala muttakhidati akhdan. In Islam, there's no place for girlfriend, for mistress. There's no place for boyfriend and toy boy and joy boy. So what you are doing is a mockery of Islam. So remember, you must separate immediately and make sincere tawbah. And if you committed fornication, you must get 100 lashes in public. Surah 24 verse 2, that is what Quran teaches us. And show no mercy and compassion. Quran says that as well. And it must be a deterrent to humanity. Look at South Africa, look at other countries. The AIDS pandemic. So what they say, give everybody a condom and then everything will sort itself out. No! You don't start from the fruit, you start from the root. So that is how Islam solves problems. You go to the bottom of the problem, not on top. So Islam says no intermingling of the strangers and opposite genders. So in that way there, both of you must separate immediately, make tawbah, and if you're still interested, get married immediately as soon as possible. And inshallah, if you're sincere, then Almighty Allah will keep you happy. But if you're looking for mockery and playing fools with Islam and Sharia, then you go right out of the fold of Islam.
Mufti Sahib, the next question, before we go to that, this person, Sister Sharifa Bibi, requests Mufti Sahib's du'as and says, make du'a for me that my dreams come true and I realize I don't have parents and my brother and sister are envious and jealous of me. Mufti Sahib, please advise.
Remember, when you'll ask these type of questions, you shouldn't take your name. Now when you mention your name, it just creates more envy and more jealousy. So don't take your names and send your names in, please. Rather, we keep it anonymous. So if somebody is jealous of you, your brother, your sister, this one, that one, you yourself read قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. Ya Allah, I seek your protection from those who are jealous and envious. Secondly, if you can still steady the ship and not rock the boat too much, so you should also see that maybe you're also partly to blame. You know, in life it's always easy to blame others, but sometimes we need to take a good look and do some introspection. Maybe I'm partly to blame. So you also should see that maybe we can reconcile. It is your brother, it is your sister after all. Did you cry tahajjud time for them? Did you send them a gift or a present? So try it out for 1 month, 2 months and see. So inshallah, Allah Ta'ala melts their hearts, and then you will see how many times in life we have tried it. That sometimes people have misunderstanding or whatever you, but if we are sincere and we make dua for them, especially tahajjud time, you will see how Almighty Allah will change everything, and yesterday's enemy, ka'annahu waliyun hamim. So Almighty Allah states, he will become your best friend. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. But no one will attain this except people who have patience and endurance. So anything you want, so don't fight fire with fire, you fight fire with water. So they are your brothers and sisters, don't sever ties. When you sever ties with your family members, then remember there are great grave consequences, which I will mention to you now. So here Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is teaching us in the noble Quran that what we should do is exercise highest patience, and then you will see that Almighty Allah states, where there's enmity, كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. When you fight fire with water, so you make dua for them, you give them a gift, a present, smile with them when you meet them. All this in Surah number 41 and verse number 34, 35. And in Surah 47, verses 22, 23, if you sever ties, sister, with your brother, sister, and they sever ties with you, in the walaytum, when you have authority, power, we have money, we have influence, and tufsidu fil ard, we cause mischief, mayhem on this earth, wa tuqatti'u arhamakum, and you sever the family ties, ulaika alladhina la'anahumullah, those are the people Allah curses them, fa asammahum wa a'ma absarahum, Almighty Allah makes them spiritually deaf and spiritually blind. So at least make salam, and that will be the starting point.
Mufti Sahib, what is the latest in Kashmir and Palestine?
Remember that in both these areas here, you will find September, they are having elections, the re-election of 2019 in apartheid Israel, occupied Palestine. So now he will go, the Prime Minister of Israel, to go give his students some lessons there, and that is in India. And remember, both of them won. The Jewish state states, this is a Jewish state, and they've mentioned it. So everybody else, Muslims and Christians and whoever, are second class, third class, fourth class citizens. And every day you see the problems there. So Israel acts like it can do whatever it wants to. In matter of 1 week, 10 days, it attacked Lebanon, it attacked, you must remember, Syria, it attacks Palestine, Gaza, and it does so with impunity because Uncle Sam is there with the veto. So remember, this is not barakah, this is muhula. Almighty Allah will decimate and destroy them very soon, inshallah. That is our dua. Allahumma ajil, ya Allah, you have the mazlumin. Ajil bi nasril mazlumin wal mustadafin, ya Rabbal Alameen. And ya Allah, these zalims and oppressors, whether in India or whether in Palestine or whether in Syria, the Alawi regime, Almighty, all non-Muslims this. So Almighty Allah, decimate, destroy them. Kashmir, if you only know what is happening. Our daughters are being taken from their homes and then raped and what, Allah forbid. We can't even see what is going on. And remember that our children are taken, and all in the name of Hindu nationalism. And remember that if they just attack a Muslim, and the police are with them, the army are with them, the government is with them, but few people among the Hindus there are speaking against this, but majority, obviously, they want Hindu nationalism, and they're telling the Muslims, Jao, Jao, Pakistan, Jao, Jao, Kabristan. So that is what you see the latest. What should we do, O Ummah? Iqra, read, and read Quran, because that is a direct speech of Allah. Surah 5, verse 82, Almighty Allah says, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. Your worst enemies are the Jews, and your worst enemy are the mushriks. Mushrik means these idol worshippers. So that is what you are seeing. Almighty Allah is showing us right in front of our eyes. O Muslim, do you have ghairat? Do you have any self-respect left? You still watching your Bollywood? You still wearing your sari? So where is our shame? Where is our iman? Where is our Islam? When a nation loses its focus and its moral compass, then remember, we only have Almighty Allah Jalla Wala to complain to. So that is what we are seeing today. We are also to blame, because this Ummah has taken Islam as something part-time. And remember, these Alawis in Syria, and these Mushrikeen and cow worshippers today in India, and these people, these Yahud and Jews, all our enemies. So we should know who our enemies are, and remember, we should then make it very clear to them, we want peace, peace based on justice. Your nationalism is going to backfire on you. They must remember what happened to them there in, you know, when they were kicked out from Europe. That is Allah's system. They will be punished till the day of Qiyamah. And Almighty Allah has spoken of this in the Quran regarding the Yahud and the Jews.
Mufti Sahib, our next question, I think our last question before the break at 1500 hours. Is it permissible for the Hanafis to read Asr Salah at Shafi'i time?
Let's just take today, for example. I'm just giving times at random. So you must remember whether you are in Johannesburg or whether in Pretoria or Durban or wherever. So let's just say, example I'm giving, 3:30. So you must remember Asr time starts. This is just an example. And according to Hanafis, at 4:15 or 4:20 or so, the Asr time starts. So now that Hanafi person, he wants to read his Asr Salat at 3:40, 3:45. Maybe he's got work, maybe he wants to travel or what have you. Is it permissible? Yes, it's permissible. So whether you're in South Africa or Makkah or Hammanskraal or wherever, so all that is permissible. Where's the dalil and evidence? Remember that what we call, you put an object, a stick or something, insert it in the ground, and when you see that object is one shadow, so then the Zuhr time expires and Asr time starts. This is the verdict of the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, Imam Abu Hanifa's two illustrious students, and that is Imam Abu Yusuf and Imam Muhammad rahimahullah, the two greatest students. They also say that. So they are. So it's not Shafi'i time. It is Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad also agree with that. So you are not leaving the Hanafi school. The Hanafi great jurors say that you can do so. So if a person, when the majority scholars say 3:30, for example, Asr time starts, and you read at 3:40, 3:45, whether it's a lady at home or you, whether you're in your hometown or traveling, totally permissible. So yes, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he is alone regarding this issue. He say you need two shadows of that object and then Asr time will start. So if a person reads according to what you call Shafi time, totally permissible, although that person might be a Hanafi.
Jazakallah khair for that, Mufti Saab. With regards to the program tomorrow evening at the Avondale Musalla, the program by Maulana Muhammad Vankas Saab, that is strictly for males only. Do remember that, and that is for the Hujjaj who went for Hajj in 2019. That program commences from 6 in the evening right until 8 o'clock. Well, it's time for a break, and thereafter we continue with the rest of the questions.